My son Matthew did not look like a winner. He was rather uncoordinated and wore braces from the age of 13 until the day he died. However, in his all too brief life, he proved that he was a winner. On October 6th, 1998, my son tried to show the world that he could win again. On October 12th, 1998, my firstborn son and my hero died 50 days before his 22nd birthday. I keep wondering the same thing that I did when I first saw him in the hospital. What would he have become? How could he have changed his piece of the world to make it better? Matt officially died in a hospital in Fort Collins, Colorado. He actually died on the outskirts of Laramie, tied to a fence. You, Mr. McKinney, with your friend Mr. Henderson, left him out there by himself. But he wasn't alone. There were his lifelong friends with him. Friends that he had grown up with. You're probably wondering who these friends were. First, he had the beautiful night sky and the same stars and moon that we used to see through a telescope. Then, he had the daylight and the sun to shine on him. And through it all, he was breathing in the scent of pine trees from the snowy range. He heard the wind, the ever-present Wyoming wind, for the last time. He had one more friend with him. He had God. And I feel better knowing he wasn't alone.
We just heard the father of Matthew Shepard, Dennis Shepard, reading. Of course, we were talking about actor Mike Dempsey. And Mike, nice read. And this is actually not make-believe. Someone actually said that.
Right. And it's hard to believe that someone spoke that eloquently at such a painful time in their lives. It does feel like a constructed monologue as opposed to a man who was actually speaking publicly and speaking to the men who were responsible for his child's death.
The production is a cast of 10 doing a total of dozens and dozens of roles. How many roles, Dennis? And what's that experience like, taking on all these different roles?
Well, I think the thing that is most important with regard to playing a lot of different characters is that you get to understand the perspective of a whole community. And the reason why I'll play a character like Dennis Shepard and then some people will play a murderer is so that way you can understand that everything's not black and white in this community just as much as it's not black and white throughout the country.
Yeah. Allie, what's the experience like as an actor to be taking on multiple characters in one play?
It's been a really interesting experience to get to kind of like not only delve into like different techniques and different ways that we can portray different characters on stage, but it's also been really interesting just on a mental level to try to, like Mike was saying, to try to get into the mindset of all of these different members of the same community who, you know, speak and feel so differently about the same event that happened in their town.
Maybe give me an example of a couple characters, a couple different perspectives, and how that kind of informed your understanding of the play, or maybe something about yourself as an actor. I'm just curious.
Sure. In part of it, I play a friend of Aaron McKinney, who is one of the boys who was responsible for the beating and murder of Matthew Shepard. In another part, I play the judge, who stands up and reads the essential facts of the case and really condemns the two boys to, you know, life in prison. So it's a really interesting juxtaposition to have to play like two different characters like that on two different, totally different ends of the spectrum.
Did your travels out to Laramie inform your how you're producing this? What was that? What did you see out there, first off, Brooke, and how did it impact the way you came to this production?
It's a totally different landscape than what I'm used to being from this area. I'm used to green, and there was not a lot of green. I'm used to grass, and this was more rocky and thorny. And the major thing that struck me was the horizon and the sky. And I feel like I would have been a sham directing this play had I not seen the place and actually been to the town, because it's a working class town that's struggling. And you can see that there are lots of different pockets of the town. There's kind of the university pocket of the town that's discussed in the play. And then there's the railroad. And then there's the kind of historical Laramie section. And all of these things really informed sort of as we look at all the different perspectives kind of in this one place.
I don't know how you get into that mindset unless you've had that background. How do you do it, Mike? I'll throw it your way first, your approach to these various individuals.
the job of an actor is to really find a character within something that you might not be used to. So, you know, I obviously do not have a child, so I cannot actually truly become Dennis Shepherd on stage. I can't be that. But I do understand the emotions that he experiences, and I do understand where he's coming from in his life. And so that way, I can put that out on stage as best as I can and kind of do justice to his character. But that's kind of what we have to do throughout the entire play, is we have to do justice to the people that actually are real and did go through this in their life.
And the fact that there are so many different characters here, is it 60?
Well, it depends on how many different jurors you count. I've heard any place between 60 and 80, depending on how you kind of split those up. But 64, I think, is the least we can get away with.
Well, thankfully for us in the audience, because, within those characters, that you're going to get a few characters. And therein lies, I guess, some sort of comic relief. Ali, how about one of the characters that strikes you as maybe somewhat... providing that relief for us, I guess.
Oh, sure. Actually, I think the funniest character in the play is one of the characters that Mike plays is named Doc O'Connor, and he is a limousine driver in the town, and he is just a ridiculous older man who he's like, just everything he says doesn't quite make sense, you know, but he's just a perfect example of like somebody who can provide that sigh of relief after you've been through such heavy, hard-hitting stuff.
We spent a lot of time in this show before we even got it up on its feet talking through moments. And I think that really helped. I felt like we spent time, all of us, trying to get in the headspace of Aaron and Russell and trying to, you know, why was there such hostility to Matthew? And to the point that we had a particularly touching moment, the actor who's playing Aaron, who is nothing like Aaron, at one point was getting choked up because he was feeling sorry for Aaron because he had empathically kind of, this young man has flushed his life away, you know, and was kind of saying, oh, I did something really stupid in that moment and it was full of hate and all of that, but I'm never going to spend time with my son again, you know, and was really empathically dealing with that. And so we've been struggling to even, Mike plays the Reverend Fred Phelps from Westboro Baptist Church, and we've been dealing with where is he coming from and what is, you know, what's in his heart as well, and is there good there?
Well, you can tell with these huge issues, it's become much more than just a play in terms of the impact it's had around the country, around the world. But that gets at the crux that I guess some of this is this idea of empathy, this idea of, well, really just that in the case of you play the Reverend Fred Phelps.
Right. Who was the person who, I mean, everybody knows is the guy that protests at the funerals of soldiers and also protested Matthew Shepard's funeral. So on one hand, I'm playing the dad who's giving a sort of eulogy in court. And then on the other hand, I'm standing across the stage screaming racial and hate and homophobic slurs at everybody who's attending the funeral.
And the Reverend continues to fight these showings and I mean, getting us into real time. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah, he's kind of infamous for, he has a website where he lists where he's going to be showing up next and who he's going to be protesting.
But on a cheerier note, what are some of the on-campus events tied into the production that will be going on the weeks leading up?
This performance marks the 15th anniversary of Matthew's death. And so we're also, there's going to be a showing of the film Laramie Inside Out in October and a panel that's happening. And there are a couple of other events that are happening throughout. Matthew Shepherd spent some time at Catawba College, which was news to us. And so it's my understanding that there may be some folks coming up from Catawba College who actually knew him, one of his advisors, who will be talking as well at one of these panels.
Ali, what moving forward as a campus, what sorts of, is this beyond the scope of the play to talk about what sorts of initiatives you look for? What sorts of dialogues do you hope come out of the play, that sort of thing?
I don't think it is at all. And I think that that's part of what we're trying to get at with this play, is to kind of raise the dialogue on campus. Our cast as a whole actually got safe zone trained by the LGBTQ center on campus.
What does that mean?
Getting safe zone trained, kind of, we learned a lot about different experiences with different people on campus. It's kind of a program that teaches people how to kind of create a comfortable environment for people who are potentially, you know, not comfortable in their own sexuality, not comfortable in their own identity in some way. We've learned different tactics, different tools to kind of speak with those people and help create a comfortable environment for them.
I've heard a lot of people refer to this play as kind of the gay play. It's about, you know, homosexuality and kind of gay rights in the country. And although that is a major part of it, for me, this play is also about being able to question your own identity and being able to go out of your limits and to show really what the human condition and what people can actually do and accomplish if they work together. I mean, this play does have immense magnitude and a lot of sadness in it, but at the same time, the heart and the absolute love in this play is very apparent. And that's something that I think people really need to take away from this.
I typed up the list of kind of initiatives, LGBT initiatives taken on the Wake Forest campus in the last 4 or 5 years, but they were laid out pretty eloquently by Trey Easton in a HuffPost article. He was responding to the Princeton Review's ranking of the least LGBT-friendly campuses in the country. Wake Forest, high up on that list, number 7. How do you respond to that as students at Wake Forest? What are you seeing on the ground here, Mike?
The article was written by Trey, and it's a well-written article, and what we really are happy about is that it's getting to people to talk about the issue. And what we really hope is that people are going to talk after they see this play, and that people will realize that change has to come. I mean, this is the 21st century. There is staggering ignorance in this country with regard to how we treat basic human rights and how we treat human beings. And I think that what needs to happen is that we come off this experience and we take a step back and realize what we need to do to help this country.
Mm. In our Safe Zone training, one of the things we also talked about is the evolution of the word tolerance, too, because when I was also going through this process when I was in college many moons ago, they'd say, oh, you need to learn tolerance. And now we're saying tolerance is just saying I'll allow you to be there, live and let live, as opposed to even thinking about acceptance or, you know, which is a evolution of a term as well.
There's a great line in the, I don't know if it's in the play, but in the movie where a fella says, this live and let live concept is great. What it means is I won't tell you what I really believe in so you don't beat me up.
Right.
And
absolutely.
What good does that get us?
Absolutely.
Or something along those lines.